ahead and start getting ready. We're going to read through actually all of Nehemiah chapter 2 in this message. We're going to touch on a couple of verses in chapter 3, so that's just to give you a heads up of where we're going. We're in a message series entitled Community Builders, and as you all know, this is one of my favorite topics. I don't think if we consider community building here at Thompson Station to be one of our values. And with values, it's like your core value. It's the core of what you believe. It's the core of who you are. And one of our values is community building. And sometimes with values, they're actually aspirational. They're not something that you've lived up to yet. But I feel like this is something that we have become. We are community builders, but we can always improve. We can always get better. There's other places that we can plug in and be a part of building community. So what does it mean to be a community builder? Community builder. Well, let's look at the word community for starters. Community is when you come together in unity around something that you have in common. The beginning, the prefix of the word is common. The suffix or the core of the word is actually unity. And so it's common unity. You come together around something, you unify around something that you have in common, and you realize you can be unified for the wrong things. There is unity. I mean, we're always talking about, well, we just need to be in unity. Well, we don't need to just say we just need to be in unity. We need to be in unity around things that build others up and encourage them, not around things that tear others down. I'll give you the classic example in Scripture is crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Hello? They were in unity about that. They were unified about that. But we have to be, the Tower of Babel is another example. It was all about pride and all about building a building to the sky. Why? So that we could say that we did that. It's all about pride. And so we have to build around or we have to unify around things that build others up. And specifically, we're talking about building up this thing called community. So it's community can be around belief systems, around a cause. We can build community around a specific need and say, okay, we want to be a part of the solution. By the way, Dr. Marzak, I know you believe this. You can come to me with problems, but come to me with the intent of finding a solution. Right? There are some people that just want to hash out every stinking problem that there is out there. Get over it. Like, I mean, be a part of the solution. If your whole intent in life is to point out all the problems and you have no intention of ever being a part of the solution, then do us a favor. Be quiet. Right? Seriously, the whole thing is because we should always be moving towards resolve and rest. Can I get an amen? Amen. Right? And this isn't, listen, it's education system, it's everywhere. All around us, people that are just griping and complaining. Listen, there's enough of that. You don't have to help them. They got that. We're the church. Don't argue and complain about anything. Why? So that you'll shine bright in your environment. Do you want to shine bright? Then let's be a part of building up others, encouraging others, strengthening. And they may be doing the wrong thing. Listen, I can encourage my children with a spanking every once in a while. Is this recorded? Maybe not. No, discipline can be an encouragement too. But if we discipline with the intent of continually tearing down our kids, then we're in the wrong place. We're doing the wrong thing. That's just a little pre-sermon. Let's move on. Last week we talked about the beginning of building. The beginning of building was to, listen, open our ears. And I mean listen. Listen to others. Ask them. Don't just say, how are you doing? Say, how are you doing? And take a moment and listen to it. Have a heart for the others that are broken around you. Ask God for guidance on how to be a part of the solution and then start where you're at. Nehemiah said, I am the cupbearer to the king. One sentence. And it was in there for a reason, because he's saying, this is who I am, this is where I'm at. So really and truthfully, you got to know your place, you got to know your position, you got to know your circle of influence. The place is the location that you're planted. Work with me, people. It's the location. And then the next thing is the position. You only have so much authority, but God knows your limitations. Work inside of that. And finally, know the people around you. Know the circle of influence that you have and start there. Last week, one of our own, Miss Peggy, she's not in here right now. She'll probably be here later. She's one of our prayer warriors. She goes to my Connect group. Miss Peggy is precious, precious, and she is a prayer warrior. She left last week going, okay, God, what's my position? What is it that you've called me to do? Where am I supposed to be? What's my authority? And she read in the paper that there were some people who were displaced from Florida, and they were at one of the hotels out on the I-65 corridor, if you go out Bear Creek. And she said the Lord just spoke to her and said, go check it out. She said, I don't normally do this, but she really does. Don't tell her I said that. So the Spirit starts stirring her. So what does she do? She drives to this hotel where there's hundreds of hotel rooms. And the guy, because the picture's in the paper, the guy is standing outside by his car when she drives up. So she says, hi, my name's Peggy. Want to come to Connect Group tonight? Kid you not, all right? In my Connect Group, last Sunday night, we had 8 people who were from Florida, who were displaced in Tennessee, and we had the blessing and honor of praying over them and praying over their homes and praying over their families. And the next day they reported that their houses were fine and they were going back. And Miss Peggy spent another day with them. She said they left at noon on whatever, it's like Tuesday, and she said, and I was like in tears because my family was leaving. She was building in the place where she was at. She started where she was at. And that's what we're all called to do, is begin building, but you start where you're at. You don't have to be somebody else. You don't have to pretend. Just be who you are and be the best of who you are, where you're at. God has you there for a reason. And Nehemiah was here for a reason. And so we'll start with chapter 2. It says, in the month of, it's not Nisan, y'all. It's Nisan. Is there a Ford? No, I'm just kidding. So in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, I took up the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had not been sad in his presence. Now that's an interesting statement, because he's saying, I've been in his presence a lot of times, but I'd never really been sad in his presence before. And the king said to me, why is your face sad, seeing that you're not sick? He said, you're not sick. This is nothing but what? Sadness of the heart. Sadness. The king, are you one of those people that's sad all the time? Then I'm praying for you to find some joy, because then when you're truly sad, people will notice. Because it happened right here. He said he noticed, because he typically wasn't sad in his presence. And he said, this has got to be a sadness of the heart. But see, what we have to do is we got to be real. Got to be real. He didn't come in and say, I'm putting on my game face. His heart was broken. And the king noticed, because he was being real in his presence. See, things aren't resolved when we pretend that all is rosy. That's not how resolution comes. Being all rosy is not the way that it happens. So sometimes we just have to be real with the brokenness. We have to express that openly. The only way to move forward is to start by being real. But let's keep going. It says in the end of this verse, it says, then I was very much what? Afraid. I was very much afraid. I said to the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my face be sad when the city, the place of my father's graves, meaning my ancestors are buried there, lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire? Then the king said to me, what are you requesting? So I prayed to the God of heaven. And that's what we do when we're afraid, right? Pray to the God of heaven. And I said, to the king, "If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's graves, that I may rebuild it." And the king said to me, the queen sitting beside him, says, "How long will you be gone, and when will you return?" How many of you know that when God's in it, when you allow him to move in a situation, the king asks questions that just blow your mind? You come in, you're like, "Hey, I need to do such and such," and God has already paved the way. Can I get a witness? Anybody ever been there before? I've seen it time and time again. As you prepare and you plan and you pray and move forward. "So it pleased the king to send me when I had given him a time. And I said to the king, 'If it pleases the king, let letters be given me to the governors of the province beyond the river, that they may let me pass through until I come to Judah. And a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest.'" Now he's like, "You know what? I've moved past fear. I need you to give me some stuff." Right? "I need you to hand over some things. I'm moving beyond fear, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the fortress of the temple and for the wall of the city." I read this for the first time this morning. I read this numerous times this week, and it says, "And for the house that I shall occupy." I need some wood for my house too. I'm just saying. "And the king granted me what I asked, for the good hand of my God was upon me." How many of you know that the first step for breaking through is to look fear in the face and push through? You have to take the first step. How many of you know that the first step is acknowledging that you're afraid and then going, "Not today"? Anybody? I mean, that's how it works, right? You got to go, "All right, I'm afraid. This isn't going to be easy." And it's funny because after you take the first step, you notice it gets a little bit easier for Nehemiah. I mean, he goes, "And I want to go at this time. And oh, by the way, could you send some warriors with me to guard me and protect me on the travels? Oh, and we're going to need some stuff to build." I mean, he was just afraid for the initial conversation. But when he took that first step, when he broke the barrier of fear, the rest just kind of started to wash out. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I mean, this is something that we have to deal with on a regular basis. We have to, one, acknowledge the fears, and then we have to push forward. You got to move forward despite the fact that you are afraid. I think it was Tony Evans that I heard say one time, "You will never overcome something if you're not willing to confront it." You'll never overcome it if you're not willing to confront it. You got to press through. So Nehemiah was afraid. Would you agree with that? But God had placed him there for that particular time, and he gave him a broken heart for his own people. He just had to take that first step. And by the way, God didn't give you a spirit of fear. He gave you a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind, according to 2 Timothy. He didn't give us a spirit of fear. That's not of God. That's from the enemy. He keeps going. Verse 9, "Then I came to the governors of the province beyond the river and gave them the letters, the king's letters. Now the king had sent," it says, "Now the king had sent with me officers of the army and horsemen." Can you imagine him coming up like this? "But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite servant heard this, it displeased them greatly." How many of you know that there are going to be people that are displeased when you're fighting your fears? There are going to be people. You want to know why? Because you make them uncomfortable. You make them uncomfortable. It says, it displeased them greatly that someone had come to seek the welfare of the people of Israel. "So I went to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. Then I arose in the night and a few men with me, and I told no one." How many did he tell? No one. "What God had put into my heart to do for Jerusalem. There was no animal with me but the one on which I rode. I went out by night by the gate to the dragon spring and to the," get this, "dung gate." Wes? There's an inside joke there. We'll talk about it sometime. I inspected the walls of Jerusalem that were broken down, and its gates had been destroyed by fire. Then I went on to the fountain gate and to the king's pool, but there was no room for the animal that was under me to pass. Then I went up in the night by the valley, inspected the wall, and I turned back and entered by the valley gate, and so returned. You have to assess the damage. You break through the fear, you get there. Now you're facing that opportunity, that moment to begin building. You're going to become that community builder. We've moved past, and now we're going, okay, now I have to assess the damage. I've got to look and see what the real need is. I have to look and see, is this something that I can do by myself? Am I going to need others to help? Or is there somebody else who's better suited for this particular situation? Not everybody who comes to Pastor Eric for counseling gets counseling from Pastor Eric. Sometimes I have to send them to somebody else who is very specific in that area of their life. So we have to take a moment and assess what is really going on. We got to walk all the way around the problem. Walk all the way around the problem. And then we need to have others walk around the problem with us. Get their perspective. Godly counsel. Listen, bad decisions are made without having godly counsel. We need to have godly counsel, right? We need some extra eyes, perspective. We have to weigh the cost. Jesus even said that about being one of his followers. He said, you have to weigh the cost. I mean, somebody's not going to build without first assessing what it's going to cost, because if you get halfway through the build and you don't have everything that you need, you're going to be the laughing stock. You don't go into battle without assessing what the enemy is going to be bringing at you. We have to assess the damage and know what it is that we're getting into. Verse 16, you still tracking with me? Hello? Still out there? Okay, making sure. And the officials did not know where I had gone or what I was doing. And I had not yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, and the rest who were to do the work. Then I said to them, do you see the trouble we are in? How Jerusalem lies in ruins with its gates burned. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem. Now, I want you to clue in on this, that we may no longer suffer derision. Suffer derision. We're going to come back to that in a minute. I told them of the hand of my God that he had been upon me for good, and also the words that the king had spoken to me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for the good work. But there's opposition. Then Sambalat the Horonite and Tobiah the Amorite servant and Geshem the Arab heard of it. They jeered at us and despised us. And they said, what is this thing that you are doing? Are you rebelling against the king? Then I replied to them, the God of heaven will make us prosper. The God of heaven will make us prosper. And we, his servants, will arise and build. But you have no portion or right or claim in Jerusalem. I want to clue in on this verse, actually go back up to verse 16. And it says, and I had not yet told the Jews. He said, I didn't tell them what was going on. I didn't tell the officials what was going on. And here's what we have to do. Many times we have to keep the plan close to us until it's time to share it. And can I tell you, extroverts hate this. Can I tell you, I hate this. I'm an extrovert. I love to banter back and forth about the plans, and I love to think out loud. Can I get somebody to say that you're the same way? Right? Who's the extroverts in the room? What? Yeah. If I were to yell, who are the introverts? Crickets. They go, yeah. But you know what I'm talking about? If I'm going to get somebody to respond, it's that extrovert. They're like, oh, you! I am glad I'm an extrovert, right? Listen, tension creates attention. Sometimes you got to allow there to be a little bit of tension because it creates attention. And so everybody's going, why in the world is Nehemiah here? And the tension is building. And when it was time for him to share, he had every ear. He had everybody's attention because he waited till that opportune moment. And I'm going to tell you, my wife, thinks that I'm wishy-washy because I'm an extrovert and I'm thinking out loud. And one minute I'm going in this direction, and the next minute I'm going in that direction. And I'm having to learn as a pastor to reel that in. Reel it in. You got to keep it close until it's time. Mike Yates, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, because he's one of my introvert friends. Right? Michael Farrell, I don't know if he's in the room right now, but he knows what I'm talking about. Wes Willett, what? Yeah, right? These guys, I drive them crazy because I'm like, blah, 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 blah. And then they go, okay, let's do it. I'm like, no, I'm not ready yet. I'm just thinking. Beth Nichols, my wife, bless her heart, has the worst of it. They just don't understand us. They just don't understand this. But we have to understand ourselves and get better at keeping it close until it's time. We're all trying to grow together, right? This is one of those things that we do. And then the final thing that we got to do is this: build your section of the wall. It goes back to what we ended with last time. Work where you're at, but you build your section, the section that God gave you as a family. Build your section. Young adults, I want you to tweet this. Don't despise the dung gate. Seriously, put it out there. Pastor Eric said it. I don't tweet it. Don't despise the dung gate, all right? Here's the deal. We have a tendency to take what we've been given and we begin to despise it because we think that somebody's grass is greener on the other side. We think that what they get to do is more fun than what we get to do. They get the spotlight. We don't. But can I tell you something? Don't despise the dung gate. Because verse 14, this guy, Malchijah, the son of Rechab, ruler of the district of Bubbaville, listen, he repaired the dung gate. He did. He rebuilt it, and he set its doors, its bolts, its bars. He had to take and repair the gate where people carried the stuff through. The excrement from the build, from the walls. And can I tell you this, though? This is what we don't realize. The dung gate was probably one of the most traveled gates of the city. Hello? It's the one that every family had to see because every family's got... Some of them think they don't. But every family does, and sometimes we take and we despise the place sometimes that God put us, and we don't realize how many people that we're actually reaching, how many people actually are going to see the work that God's called us to do. Educators, do not despise the place that you've been put. Don't. You've been put in a special place in the lives of... We don't have to wipe snotty nose all the time like you do. We don't have to deal with... But you are in a place that is so important to the lives of those kids. Don't despise the dung gate. You know, some of the things that we were blessed to be able to do here at Riverside is... This week I was able to come in and read, and we've actually got some pictures. You can't take pictures of the children, but you can of their books, right? but we're blessed to be able to come in and read with the kids. And this week I came in on Wednesday and on Friday. Because why? Because that's the place that God's called me to build. That's the section of the wall that he said, you know, Eric, this is where I want you to work on these gates. I want you to work on this part of the city. I want you to work on this generation. I want you to be a part of, as Dr. Marzak has said before, I want you to be an asset to some of these children, but be consistent. And one of those kids, one of those kids is one of the children that I have read with since he was a first grader, and this year he's in the fourth grade. He's got a special place in my heart. You don't know why? Because he's the one that looked at me in second grade and he said, Pastor Eric, I miss you. So I've read with him ever since. Because you just don't realize how important the building is until they look you in the eyes and they say, what you're doing matters to me. So build right where you're at. The Discovery Club is coming. This was actually from Highland. We were at Highland this week, and we're going to be doing a Discovery Club, which is a Bible club. We're going to be doing a Discovery Bible Club here at Riverside starting in October. We started training, and I'm so glad that we did, because we needed some help. I mean, once we got in there, I was like, oh yeah, I'm glad that we came to the training. But it's so exciting that we get to be a part of continuing to build in these children's lives. And some of these children we've gotten to know over the years, so it's going to be even more exciting to get to know them after school. And I'm going to tell you, some of these children at Highland, they've been there since the first grade that they were allowed to come. And they have an amazing relationship with the ladies that are working there. And it's so awesome to see. And that's what we get to be blessed to do here at Riverside. In addition to that, maybe you want to come to Prayer on the Square. That's coming up in October. Listen, what we do now, we're going to start doing it this way, is every other month, because it falls on the same day that we usually do our food distributions. So on the month that we're off on food distributions, I'm going to ask every single one of you to join me at Prayer on the Square. Now, something that y'all don't know, y'all see that little slot window below the clock? You see the grids, and then you see that little window that's a slot right there. Do y'all see it? You might not know this, but my dad used to have a key to that room. And he would go up and pray over the city. And he did it for years. I am not a first-generation prayer warrior for the city of Columbia. I am the third generation. My grandmother moved here in 1973, which is the year I was born, and she started praying for this city, and then my dad, and now my generation, and guess what? And my kids. Four generations of Nichols that are praying for Columbia, Tennessee. That's how we as a family build. You know where you're at. You know what you're called to do. You build where you're at. Now, there's one more thing I want to share with y'all. It's something that I started on Mondays called My Town Mondays, and I want to just air this out because some of you are like, he spends way too much time having fun out there on Facebook Live. First of all, I do it on Mondays, which is my day off. And the whole purpose of it was this. I realized that I would walk through Kroger, and it's not Kroger's. My wife, she fixed that in my vocab. There's no S on the end of it, apparently. Last night, we're walking in. She's like, all of you Southern people call it Kroger's. It's a Kroger. So we go into Kroger, and I'm going through, and people will come up to me and say, hey, I watched your video of where you cooked the tenderloin for your men's group. I'm like, why? Why'd you watch that? And then they talk about how jealous they are that they didn't eat it. So maybe it's not good that I'm creating envy and jealousy out there. But they started, and so I start going through the city, and people are saying, I watch your Facebook Lives. And I'm going, y'all need more to do. And one Monday, I was thinking about how one of Ashley's friends came home with her from college, and she brought her parents with her. And her parents, we walked them around the city. I was just sharing with them some of the things. I love Columbia. And so I was just sharing the things that are going on in Columbia and how, you know, all the networking that's going on with churches and the network that's going on even with local businesses. And I was like, man, I guess I was a little excited about it because he's a pastor. He went home and he actually preached a sermon the next day and started talking about how their town should be like Columbia. I'm like, yeah, right? It's like, that's cool. And I'm driving my daughter to school, and I just start getting overwhelmed with this vision of doing this My Town Mondays because I love to talk about my town. But you know, it's not the businesses. It's the people. It's the people. I love getting to know new people, and I love just having the opportunity to hear something about their life and their story. And so I started doing this, and can I tell you, it kind of blew up a little bit. We did the restaurant, The Dotted Lime, and it had over 9,000 views. I was like, okay, maybe you want me to keep doing this, right? This last week, we did the CrossFit place. By the way, man, that's a hard workout. Because I watch them do it. Man, I broke a sweat just watching, you know what I'm saying? And now it's actually like over 9,400 views. I'm going, what in the world, man? And you know what I realized? This can be a culture changer. You don't know why? Because people are sick and tired of the ranting and raving, and they want to hear something good from their town. Yeah. They're like, you know, there's some, and the whole mission of the My Town Mondays is to introduce you to the people that make My Town amazing. That's it. Plain and simple. And I thought that, you know, I was just going to do this as a little hobby thing, which I am, by the way. Still doing it as a hobby. I've had people tell me, hey, people would pay for you to do those interviews. I don't want to be paid for it. You don't know why? The minute I get paid for it, I don't get to talk to every single person I want to talk to. Nobody gets to tell me who to choose or what have you. We're just going word of mouth. And here's what I found. People in the community are responding to it. I sit in Mule Town Coffee. I'm talking with a pastor. A guy walks up I've never met in my life. He says to me, I watch your My Town Mondays. Once again, I went, you need more to do, right? But I was like, that's cool. So he goes to tell me, I got to know him. He told me about all the things. I know where he works. I know where he lives. That may be dangerous. No, I know where he lives. He actually has a little bee farm. It's really, really cool stuff. It's one story after the next, after the next. A lady sitting at the football game. Hey, I watch her. I'm like, what are you doing, God? And you know what he's doing? He's bringing people together. He's building this community, and that's what we're called to do. And each one of us, we just have to do what he's called us to do. This Windmill Bakery right here, they're going to be on a My Town coming up, right? And who doesn't love Windmill Bakery? And I'm not trying to get y'all hungry or anything. But you know, that view that you're looking at is really the reason that all of this is going on. This is what we're here for. That's the view from the chair where one of my new friends last Wednesday gave his life to Christ. Yeah. That's what he was looking at. He was looking at me too, but I didn't want to put my picture up there. What you need to know is, in our town, every place that we set our feet, God's saying, I want that. I want that. Why? Not for us to make our name great, but to make his name great. And I don't know about you, but I want to keep building. One block at a time. One dung gate at a time. Keep building and keep building. Listen to this. I want you to hear this verse, Nehemiah 2:17. Just listen. Then he said to them, you see the trouble we are in, how Jerusalem lies in ruins with its gates burned. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer suffer derision. Here's what the word derision means. Contemptuous, ridicule, or mockery. I don't know about you, but I'm sick of the ranting and raving. I'm tired of the mockery, contempt, ridicule, mockery. Listen, division amongst us, division creates derision. And when we are divisive with one another, we give them something to laugh at. We give them a reason to mock us. But unity creates community. We'll just be unified around building and not tearing down. So, anybody in? You ready to continue to build? Let's do it. Well, I'm going to ask that the ushers would come forward. We're going to continue to worship through giving. We'll just accept the challenge. Amen? Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word, this message, this example that we have in Nehemiah. I ask, Lord, that you would help each and every one of us to assess the damage around us and be a part of the remedy, be a part of the solution, be a part of the fix. God, may it not be said of us that we're a part of the problem. I pray that this community would no longer look at the church with mockery, no longer look at the church. I mean, it's almost like there's this running joke and the punchline is unity in the church. Well, it's not funny. It's not funny. We want to see the body of Christ come together to continue to build in this community. We thank you for days like Serve Sunday. We pray for more of those. More opportunities for churches to come together for the food distribution or come together to work in each one of our schools. We ask that you would give us wisdom on how to build and where to build. Discernment. And God, I thank you that we have this opportunity to give, and just ask that you would do as you have been and just continue to take this gift and multiply it for the sake of your kingdom. We've been blessed to be able to give towards the weekender packs because of the generosity of this congregation. So we thank you for that. Serve Sunday was a part of that. The food distributions, we gave, I think it was $4,000 in 2017 towards food distributions. We thank you that we're able to be a part of that. And as we move forward and try to figure out how to be a part of helping after the hurricanes and natural disaster and other communities, we ask that you would provide in such a way that you would receive the glory for it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.